And I was mentioning this before. We were talking pottery because, you know, those great things that you need to do on your weekend. Does this remind you of anything? No, it's not working. Don't you love when that happens?
I've hungered for your touch alone, lonely time.
If you're anything like me, Unchained Melody from the Righteous Brothers will remind you of Patrick Swayze from Ghost. That iconic scene. The pottery scene. We all know it. Anyway, the weekend forecast is looking particularly miserable this weekend. So, we thought, what are something you can do on the weekend when it is absolutely belting down cats and dogs outside? Pottery. Are you a potter? Have you done it? See, I'm not particularly practical. I feel like every time I do it, it just ends up looking like a deformed ashtray. However, joining me now on the line is Joe Darling. He is the founder of the Pottery Shed in Paddington. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, good morning, Jamie.
So, pottery, how long have you been doing it for?
Oh, my God. Since before Ghost, I'll tell you the truth.
So you were like the original Patrick Swayze. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
Yeah, well, at one time I might have been as handsome as that, but I'm a bit old now.
So, Joe, the weekend weather is looking pretty crummy. So we were thinking of things you could do, and pottery, it kind of spiked my interest. Tell me about it. Is it cathartic? Is it great on a wet weekend?
Yeah, it is. It is good on a wet weekend because, well, the studio's warm and welcoming. The kilns are always on, and it's toasty. The sandstone walls are absorbent and neutral colors, and then the bright glaze and pottery that's around, scattered around the shelves, is eye catching.
Oh, you've transported me there, Joe. See, is it difficult for beginners?
Well, it is traditionally. To tell you the truth, it's sort of a deep water that beginning potters just get pushed into. And they have to struggle their way through is traditionally the way it's taught. But I've remodeled that exercise, that training, and I've isolated just a few key points, six really, and that each person can try to remember to produce a real valuable, viable pot. And so I think, therefore, at the Pottery Shed, it's actually a lot easier than most places.
So you're talking about those 6 points for beginners to pottery. What are some tips you'd have for beginner potters?
Yeah, I'd say, well, we have this one anchor point that you just need to rest your elbows down on, and we have the other central point between your left and right hands that have to stay together. And those are the two primary things you got to keep in mind. And with that, you can probably make your first pot the same day. Most people make two or three the first day.
So, as I mentioned before, like year 8 art class, I think was the last time that I tried pottery. I'm not particularly practical, and what I ended up with was this kind of deformed ashtray, which was meant to be a bowl. So, for people like me who are rather impractical, is it possible to get into pottery?
Absolutely, Jamie. The first three classes you take with me are going to give you the core essence of what you need to know. That's why I've isolated these down just to the elements of physical properties you need to have in using your body and hands on the clay. But then after those three classes, you're free to take any practical practice class that you would like to. You can take any one of the 160 spots a week that we've got available. So it's all designed for the very first person, as well as the intermediate and advanced, but it's mostly attractive to the beginner.
My dear old mom has just texted me and she said, I've still got that bowl. I don't know why. It's awful. I think maybe it's just because of Ghost, but there does seem to be something kind of rather sensual about pottery, you know, getting your hands on the clay, isn't there?
There is an earthy element to it, absolutely. And a lot of people kind of come to the shed with their heads full of digital world and work stress. And they get straight into this cold, clammy, malleable material, and they're they're processing it, wedging it, we call that, on the table. They're kneading it like a bread dough. And straight away, you can feel that absorb all that stress away from them. And then pretty soon, they're sitting at the wheel, being transformed, as you said, into a meditative kind of world that's just peaceful and quiet. We have a little bit of radio playing sometimes, 2SER. We even have a glass of wine in the evening.
Oh,
just complimentary on the house.
Oh, that sounds like my idea of heaven for a weekend.
Yeah.
If you've just joined us, I'm here with Joe Darling. He's the founder of the Pottery Shed, which is in Paddington, which is a studio which offers lessons. We're talking about, you know, it's not going to be great weather this weekend, so some alternative things you can do besides getting out. And pottery does seem to be right up there. Joe, what kind of materials are you using? Is it it's clay you use?
We use clay as basically a decomposed rock that's accumulated in striations of earth and mined back. But clay, the kind that we use is more of the natural form, not one that's modified with silica. Excuse me. So it's called earthenware. It fires at a lower temperature and basically gives us, because we're so many beginners starting off, gives all the beginners a opportunity to get it right and have a viable piece before we use high temperature firing techniques. So we use earthenware clay, and we use all food safe glazes on top of that. So we have a variety of like over 70 different colors that you might want to decorate the pot with when it's been, after it's been trimmed and then first fired, the bisque fire. But the glaze goes on there, and you can have bright colors or subdued colors. You can have, even we have a variety of pencils that can be used to color and draw straight on the clay body. There's a lot of options.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Joe Darling is here with me. He's the founder of the Pottery Shed in Paddington, talking about things you can do this weekend besides getting out into the rain. So take me through the process. So you chuck it on the wheel, you mold it with your hands on like a spin wheel, is that right?
Yeah, it's called a potter's wheel, and it is spinning. Yeah, that's right. If it's going counterclockwise, it's for the right-handed person. The clay has been prepared, so it's softened and de-aired. And it's lightly spiraled as the wedging kneading technique gives it. Then it goes onto the wheel, and you have a variety of hand tools. And basically just soak it with water, spin it around, and try to get it to the exact center through a process which we teach in two steps. And that's to cone the clay up, squeezing it on the sides and drawing it tall and vertical. And then coning the clay down, bringing it shorter and wider, kind of a yin and a yang, if you will.
Mm.
And in that process, as it comes down, it falls into the exact center. Once it's there, then you divide it open, leaving a base, and compress the clay that needs compressing, which is at the floor of that base. And then that gives you natural thick walls to start with. And there's a special hand grip, and there's two positions to know about that hand grip. And you lightly but firmly draw the clay upwards in several motions. So it might take three or four occasions to make a straight cylinder, but really you can do that that easily.
And are you using a foot pedal, or is it electronic? How does it work to spin the wheel?
We used to have slaves kicking the wheels back thousands of years ago, according to legend. But when I started, I was the person kicking the wheel too, by the way. But now we've got electric wheels. As a matter of fact, we've got a variety, about eight beautiful wheels, straight from Australian made, straight from Perth, called Venco. And we use electric wheels from Venco, both in the direct drive and the traditional mechanical drive types. They both have their advantages. And then we have a couple of wheels from Japan called Shimpo, which are a magnificent manufacturing quality. But the whole idea is that when you press the pedal, they go fast. And you just don't have to do that much effort to it. It's really controlling the speed rather than going too fast at all.
Yeah, because then you get that ghost situation where it all kind of sprays everywhere. Joe Darling is here from the Pottery Shed. So you formed in your hands, say, let's say, a bowl or something, and then what happens? You fire up the kiln, which is like a large oven. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, first after you've got this bowl formed, by the way, maybe you start with a straight cylinder and the walls are possibly 10 millimeters thick, then you'd spread those walls out so that they become thinner. Now you move it, instead of vertically, now you're moving it horizontally, and you just gently press it wider, and it forms into a bowl that is right in front of your eyes. And most people, when they're watching this, just gasp. So we have a bowl, and then you smooth the inside with a tool, dry it off, and cut it away from the wheel, set it onto a board. It needs to dry out for about 24 hours without a wrapper, without a cover to it, so that we can trim the bottom. Mm-hmm. And after it's dried to a leather hard state, it's turned upside down and returned to the wheel upside down, and it's secured there so that we use a series of loop knives and other kinds of sharp implements of death to scrape away the bottom. And as you scrape away the extra clay on the base, you leave behind a foot ring. And that gives you a negative space where glaze can be put, plus a fine finish and an even thickness throughout the whole entire piece. And the foot ring itself sits naturally on the kiln shelf where there isn't any glaze, and that doesn't stick to the kiln. And that's the first firing, sorry, by the way, and then it comes out and gets glazed, and then the second firing after that. But it needs a good trimming first. That's
right.
What I wanted
so
to say.
How hot is that kiln?
This is these are standard industrial kilns. They fire to 1,300 degrees.
Woo! Holy Nelly!
That's a big, big hot temperature. It can take it all the way up to a porcelain-like temperature, but we're only going to 1,100 degrees.
Wow, that's unbelievable. And then you end up with a wonderful little bowl you can give to your mother. Now, Joe, I've got to wrap it up. I've got the news headlines coming in just a tick. But the classes you're running, what's the demographic? You know, what's the age group?
Well, pretty much women, to be honest with you.
Really?
About 80% women, but there are a number of men. And if you look at professionally, I'd say mostly chefs, people who are interested in producing their own wares to serve and design the dish around a particular type of dish, really.
Wow. And what age brackets are you looking at?
There's quite a wide range from morning hours, a lot of retired people who can get involved in this, but a few actually, probably about 20%, but the rest, 80%, is going to be right between 22 and 32 years old.
Well, I fit smack bang in the center. I will have to come and check it out. Joe, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. If people want to find out more about the Pottery Shed, how can they do that?
Yeah, they just type into Google, like, I want pottery lessons.
And your mug will come up in
That's
Google
it.
Images.
We're up there on the organic side at number one. It's such a popular place. There's a bit of a backlog in booking, I'm afraid.
Well, Joe, you can sign me up. I'll be there with bells on, all right?
Yeah, thanks, Jimmy.
Wonderful. That's Joe Darling, the founder of the Pottery Shed in Paddington. So if you're at a loose end this weekend with the weather, you know, it is going to be absolutely belting cats and dogs this weekend. It's going to be gross. Head along to the Pottery Shed. It just sounds fabulous. It's warm. If you get in there in the evenings, you're even going to get a glass of wine on the house.